Hi, my name is Jonathan Darty, and I'm the founder of Gateway to Freedom, and I used to be addicted to porn and sex. Gateway to Freedom is our workshop for men who want to overcome any kind of sexual struggle or stronghold. It's conducted over 3 days in a safe, private setting with professional counselors and experts in dealing with sexual brokenness issues. Now, space at each workshop is limited to ensure the highest quality of personal attention, and the workshop is available throughout the year in several locations around the United States. Hundreds of men over the years have found hope and healing through Gateway to Freedom, and I believe you can too. Our next workshop is coming up September 27th through the 29th in Pennsylvania. You can register by calling 1-800-49-PURITY, that's 1-800-497-8748, or by visiting BeBroken.com. Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. My name is Jonathan, and I'm glad to have you here with us. We've got my special friend, Stephen Cervantes, here. Of course, when I say special friend, I don't know how I should qualify that.
Yeah, I feel special. I feel special, extra special friend today.
And you look so sharp, because whenever we do the webinars, right, this is a webinar day.
Oh, that's right. Webinars
so you got your white
up.
Shirt and your red tie, and you just look like... It. You look like you could go from here and sell insurance if you need
this
to.
This is my uniform, right? This is it, white shirt.
I need to get with the program, but I just do not do ties. I mean, I'm like the only time you're going to see me in a tie is when I'm in a coffin.
I never wore ties, and then a guy in my office started wearing ties, and then I felt underdressed. He was in a tie. I wasn't. It's like, okay. So I started wearing ties, and I like it.
Yeah.
And then I've learned to like it now.
That's awesome. Well, listeners, we're always grateful that you're with us. You know, we would really ask that you consider sharing the program with others. So when we, you know, every single week through our social media outlets of Facebook and Twitter, we always post the latest programs from the website. And we'd encourage you, if you're willing, please share those. Share them through your social media channels so that more people could be exposed to the resources we have here. I also want to share with you one other resource that we have launched. We actually launched it over the summer. It's called our Recovery Discovery video series. It's actually, we call them 3-minute recovery discoveries. And what we're doing is we're taking various aspects of the recovery journey, principles of recovery, like making amends or confession, you know, forgiveness, those types of things. And actually I'm doing 3-minute videos on that, just little snippets to help people kind of get a real practical way to deal with all of those issues in recovery. And so if you go to our YouTube channel, which is just puresexradio.youtube.com, or just go to our puresexradio.com website, you can get to all of those recovery discoveries. I think we've got maybe about 20 of them up there now. But hopefully those can also be something that you can use or share, or if you're doing a small group or if you're mentoring somebody, it's a great way to get conversation going around the key elements of recovery. So, Stephen, we're going to talk about thoughts on sexuality, right? Because, yes. Hey, we're the Pure Sex Radio program.
We better talk about sex once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm fortunate, and so are you, to work with men and to listen to these guys, and then we get permission to repeat a few of their statements as a way for a man to build another man. And we're in the men building business, mm-hmm. and we thank you for letting us be your trainers. We've been doing this for a little bit, and you've been following for a little bit, and so we say thank you for that. And thank you for the contributions of funds to support the program. And thank you for supporting us with ideas and just letters of encouragement and texts and, you know, all that's good stuff. So thank you for the part you play. So one gentleman says, I've come in for some help, but I have this problem. I want to be a man of honor. Because I heard that we're supposed to be men of honor. And that's my goal. I want to be a man of honor, but I'm involved in some out of control sexual behaviors. But I want to be a man of honor. Can you help me?
Hmm. Yeah. Well, and I would look at it this way. So yes, you absolutely can be a man of honor. And I would say at this, you can be a man of honor even as you struggle through those issues. I think sometimes we make this seem mutually exclusive, as if being someone who stumbles along the journey somehow is mutually exclusive between from being an honorable man. And I don't think those have to be oil and water. To me, it's about what's the trajectory of your life. For instance, I think there's a difference between stumbling in the right direction and somebody who is living in their sinfulness. In other words, like I'm immersing myself. I'm going all in. I'm not even trying to live in a righteous way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so to me, it's like, hey, you want to be a man of honor? Great. When you fall, get up, confess, repent, get into community, move forward. You know, so it's not rocket science, but it does take intention, I think.
So if a gentleman said to you, I don't want to be the person I have become. I don't want to be the person that I have become.
Well, I'd say good news. You probably weren't at some point the person you have become, so that means change is possible, right?
Yeah.
So it's like in the same way that we can change in the negative, I believe we can also change for the positive. So you don't want to be the person that you've become? Great. You've already demonstrated that change is possible. Not in the direction you wanted to go. But hey, because change is possible, it can happen the other way too. So there's hope.
That's good. You know, sometimes guys will come in and say, my life is out of control. And my wife knows now. And so I have to change because my wife knows.
Well, here's what I would say to that is, okay, if your wife is your motivator, is like the source of your motivation for change, that will not last. And the reason for that is because that's a part of your circumstance that does not, that's not a fixed point. Meaning she can always change. Plus, she may not always be there. So if I make my motivation for change something that doesn't have a fixed nature to it, then I'm going to always be, my motivation's only going to be tied to that one thing. So for instance, let's say she dies or leaves or whatever else. If my motivation has been, I just want my wife, because my wife knows about this and now I want to be quote unquote a man of integrity for her. Well, that may sound noble. That's not necessarily a bad thing to want to try to be a man of integrity for her. But if she's the source of your motivation, that's not a good motivation. Like what I had to finally do, I mean, when my wife left, that actually helped me have a better motivation because it was like, okay, she said she's never coming back. She didn't want to have anything to do with me. And so I had to think through what's the baseline for my motivation to become a man of integrity? And it had to ultimately come down between me and God. In the sense of, no, my motivation needs to be because there is a fixed point in eternity called the Creator God, who is immutable. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, He is the one that is the Creator of all things. He's the one that, you know, gets to determine how we are to live. And so, therefore, my motivation needs to be connected to Him. Because that's a part of my life that won't move.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, if she might be happy or half happy or not happy, and she's going up and down. She might like me, not like me.
Yeah, and at any point in my life, there will never be a point at which God is not, you know, present, or that God is not available. Does
and
that make
should
sense?
Be the focus and should be
yeah
right where who you're trying to please ultimately.
And then even in that, I think there's a growth curve. There's a growth curve that says initially my motivation for pursuing what was right was out of a sense of brokenness over just how much I had violated God's standard for how I was designed to live with my sex and as a sexual being. But then it grew to be less out of fear and guilt to more out of recognizing just the grace and mercy and kindness of God. And so my motivation became much more about loving God and wanting to please him because he's my father, not out of fear because he's my judge.
Mm.
And so I think there's even a progression there in our motivation, even in relationship to God. I do think sometimes we start out with a motivation that says, my goodness, yes, I have violated his law. He's a righteous judge. I'm a mess here. But then when we begin to understand his grace and his love and his father heart, even our motivation for doing what is right changes.
Yeah, good. So I have a lot of discomfort talking about sexuality. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of shame. No one talked to me. The only talk about sexuality here is guys joking. This is hard. This is a hard topic.
Yeah.
Sexuality is a hard topic.
That's the whole reason I wrote the Grace-Based Recovery book is we need grace-filled environments in which people can share their stories. Because one of the things that we've found, you and I both know this, when you can get a man, and a lot of times we're talking about men here because we are men and we deal with men. And so this isn't to exclude women. I think it's true for women as well. But we see that when we get a man into an environment where he doesn't just think he's safe, but he feels that he's safe, doesn't that open the floodgates for him to be able to tell the truth about his story?
This is so fabulous because we'll go to these weekends and we create a place for men to talk, and men will say, I've said things here I've said to no one.
Yeah.
They'll say, you know me better than my own brother knows me.
Mm.
And I've known him all my life,
yeah.
But I told you guys things I would not tell anyone. But they're inside me and they bother me and I need to get them out.
So that's a message to leaders out there, people who are facilitators of environments for whether it be, you know, Sunday school classes or small groups or support groups or any number of, you know, just environments where maybe ministry is going on or where community is happening. It is on us as leaders to be intentional about creating specific environments that are safe enough for somebody to say, I'm really struggling with my sexual thoughts. I've really been struggling with pornography. I've betrayed my marital vows by being unfaithful with another person. You know, being able to unpack some of those things so that now next steps towards healing can take place. Because I think until we have an environment where a person feels safe enough to get all of their brokenness out, there's not much hope for change in that person's life.
That's good. And cleaning it out sort of helps. Opening up helps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing some light helps. So I've had this thought I want to share with you and hear your feedback on. When you find a guy that's sexually acting out, and you peel it back, underneath it, something is not working. You might be depressed, you might be stressed, you might be angry, you might be wounded. But when you see acting out behavior, that's like fruit of a very troubled inner system, the root.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this a lot, and I think, you know, in many ways you've developed some good models for this, but I think we've always been kind of trying to construct this, you know, this picture, so to speak, right? Of what does this look like in the human person? And I do think that there is often the thing that's on top that is seen, right? But then there's the thing that's the actual problem that's underneath it that's often unseen, probably not even in some ways, maybe even unknown consciously to the person that's struggling. So, for instance, you have, let's take this issue of just anger, right? Here's a guy looking at porn all the time. And then when maybe you as a counselor in our ministry, we get to a point where we're starting to unpack the underneath and we might make a statement to this guy of like, you know, you seem like you're carrying a lot of anger. I always find it a little bit funny when they fire back in anger. that we're totally wrong. We're off base. I didn't come here to talk about it. I came here to talk about my porn problem. It's like,
you made me
I
angry.
Think we nailed it. I think we hit it. But you know what I mean? Sometimes you're not even aware. So the thing is, I think it's helping people travel down to that lower thing that sometimes can feel like it has no connection to sex or sexuality at all. Right?
Yes.
They might say, well, what do you mean? What does my depression have to do with my sexuality? Mm-hmm. And so I think part of what we try to do is help them see those connections. And when you start dealing with the root, then it naturally alters the fruit, right?
Yes. Good. So that's number one. There's some kind of ugly mood, stress, depression, anger, irritability.
And but let me say just one more thing about that, because you've taught me a lot on this, and that's really what we've been doing a lot through these emotional training for men webinars, is so many times what is that underneath layer is absolutely tied into your emotional system.
Yes.
It's the emotional self that has deep brokenness and, a lot of twisted history that then needs to actually be addressed, and then and then that has a profound effect on behavior moving forward.
You sound smart.
Well, I've been listening to you for a long time.
Number two, when you find a sexual acting out guy, you also find a guy that has no joy, who has no fun, right? Who's in pain.
Yeah. Or you find things that have the appearance of fun or the appearance of joy, but sometimes it's more of like a pursuit of adrenaline or some kind of pleasure rush or something. So, for instance, you might have this guy that's, totally addicted to porn, having multiple affairs on his wife, but, man, he goes water skiing and skydiving, and he does, you know what I mean? So it looks like he's a fun guy, right? All of that is usually a masquerade. It's
right. I think he's pursuing joy.
Yeah.
And pursuing fun.
But he doesn't have it. He doesn't possess it.
He has it in his being.
Right.
Because remember, they're getting a supplement. If you're totally happy with joy, you don't need supplements, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm making 4 points. When you see a sexual acting out guy, you see a guy that's not really taking care of himself. Mm. How does that make any sense?
Yeah. So one of the ways that I see this the most is one of the key elements, I believe, of self-care is knowing how to rest well. And when I mean rest, I don't mean like just sleep. I mean like you know how to have a peace in your soul. There's a calm to your being. You know how to have good balance and good margin in your life between things like work and home and all that. And for the guy who is, sexually broken and really pursuing those things, there's a constant churning. Like he's probably even afraid of being by himself because he knows he's just going to manage that time poorly, and so therefore there's a constant anxiety, I think, that happens, and so he doesn't know how to rest well, and so therefore he's not caring for himself. That's just one aspect.
No, that's good. And I'm looking at you thinking, hey, that was you.
Oh, absolutely.
You were crazy in the head at one time. And now you play golf.
Yeah.
You go for long walks, chasing balls in the trees, right?
Yeah.
Does that qualify as rest to you?
Yeah. And that's why that's one that's quick to come to my mind, is because it's so close to me. But I think you could have other things too. You have poor eating habits and things like that that people latch on to that's poor self-care, because there's not a sense of peace in their being.
Yes. So my fourth point, when you find a guy that's sexually acting out, you find that he's using sex as a way of coping with stress, job stress, relationship stress, parenting, life changing stress.
Yeah, and I would say it this way, what the coping mechanisms become like a medication, like a prescription. So in other words, if I have stress at work, then I need to take the quote-unquote pill of my sexual acting out. If I have, an argument with my wife, then I need to take the pill of sexual acting out. It's almost like he's learned to just respond to every stressor in life with his prescription of sexual acting out. And that creates, in some ways, that almost becomes a like a Pavlov's dog type of, you know, response, where it's like almost without him even having to think about it, if his body begins to experience stress, he has learned, I always go to sexual acting out. So this is why when guys get into recovery, sometimes it can be very difficult for them at first to make a different decision when they feel stressed, because it's woven into their very biology now.
Yes, that's right.
Like if
and
I feel
on
stressed,
several levels, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. So I just answered this statement, why it doesn't make sense, but I still want you to repeat whatever, okay? So individuals come into us and say, I have a control issue. I just want to control myself. Teach me to control myself. Now, why doesn't that work? Because it's very simple, and on the surface, that's what they can grab is, out of control, in control. Okay, teach me to be in control now.
Well, probably because the problem is they're already controlling. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm listening.
But it's like, you know, when I hear a person say, I want to be in control, it's almost like, you know, what they're trying to say is, I want to make better decisions, right, about my acting out. In other words, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But probably if we start breaking down their life, they've got a stranglehold on every area. In other words, they've got to be either right or they're already trying to control everything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that works well to then say, hey, I want to be in control. It's like, well, you're probably already a control freak as it is.
Well,
what do you want to be in control of?
My thought was, that's a simple answer. Just get in control. Everybody will tell you, just stop it.
Right,
control
yeah.
it. But we just said four reasons. I don't take care of myself. I've got ugly moods going on, right? We said I've got stress in my life and anger and no fun and no pleasure. And I got all these deep things that are torturing me in my soul. And I use my supplement to get away from that. And so when somebody says, hey, just teach me how to control it, it's like, that's a little surface thing.
Right.
We're working in the wrong area here. You got pain in your gut. Mm-hmm. Deal with the pain in your gut.
Well, the other thing, too, is that kind of simplistic answer keeps somebody only focused on the symptom, right, which is just the behavior. And so if I stay with that, I will absolutely miss all of these other things regarding self-care and coping and the underlying emotional issues.
Yes.
And so this is why I think we see a lot of guys in recovery that grow very frustrated with their recovery, because they're adding to their existing exhaustion another exhausting thing.
Set of behaviors.
Yeah.
Get control. Right. Do this. Do that. That'll fix it. Just work on the surface with tweaking three things.
Right.
But then the deeper program hijacks them.
Yeah.
And then they mess up.
Well, the irony is, especially when we're talking about this issue of a guy, his coping mechanisms, let's say, being in response to stress. So he's already gotten a pattern woven deep into his biology, right? That the moment he starts feeling a twinge of stress for any reason, he's used to going to his acting out. So now what we're saying in recovery is, add some more stress to your life.
And get control.
And get control.
And add stress,
it's like,
and get control.
It's no wonder then that he might even start acting out more, because he's like, I'm
already
trained.
He'll shake his head and he'll walk away with a yes, but he can't do what you
just
said.
He's like, I'm already trained to respond to stress by going to my acting out behaviors.
So what do you say to this guy? It feels like I can't stop. I want to stop fighting against myself, but it feels like I can't stop.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean,
that's what it feels like.
That is what it feels like. And I think, shame comes into this so much. Just when you start looking at the lies that a person's been believing that triggers them,
the behavior.
I think this also speaks to the control issue. Yeah, I just want to stop. I just want to stop.
That's good. Right.
And it's like,
I had just good control, the control stopping tool, if I could just get the control stopping tool.
The other thing, too, is I think this feeds the false belief that if I never acted out, I would be an emotionally mature, healthy man.
Think about that. Oh, if I never acted out, then I would be mature and healthy.
I think that's some of what the thinking is behind this. Like,
but if the, I was sexually perfect, and
well, like what they're saying is the answer to all of my problems is if I could just stop acting out.
Yeah.
And we've noticed this, right? We learned this early on in the ministry that we would see guys that would effectively stop behavior, and their wives would call us angry because they're worse men now than they were when they were acting out because they weren't understanding the need to deal with the underlying issues.
That's right.
So it's like, hey, they got control, right? I haven't acted out in 6 months, but I have not grown up. I've not matured. I've not grown and become healthier.
That's right.
As
that's
a man.
Good. So here's the question. If you overdeveloped your sexuality by acting out, what did you underdevelop?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because the thing is, you know, we know this even biologically in our brains, right? That our brains crave balance. If you think about your brain as having these various compartments, you know, you got the basically the front portion, the back portion, these kind of things. And if you thought about your brain as kind of having lights in it, and so when you're active, when one part of your brain is active, it lights up. So basically what this means is the, in many cases, those who develop, overdevelop sexual acting out, it's like the back part of their brain lights up much more than the front part of their brain.
Mm.
So there's an imbalance. But the thing is, biologically, your body, your brain craves balance. So it's going to constantly be trying to figure out, how do I'm going to have to deplete here in order to come over here. And so the thing is then what that does in the brain is the prefrontal cortex, which is kind of the brakes on your decision making. It's where you actually have reasoning and cognitive.
Right.
It starts to dim. Well, that's a bad formula.
Because you want full lights on.
You're driven by you want everything to kind of be lit up equally, so to speak.
Mm.
Balance. If the back part of your brain, which is really about impulse and drive and that kind of stuff, is overpowering the front part of your brain, you're going to keep making very, very poor decisions. So I think it is a good question to ask, okay, what's been underdeveloped? And a lot of times it gets to those issues of, hey, I'm emotionally stunted.
Mm.
I'm not good at relationships and bonding. You know, I don't have much discipline around my spiritual life.
Oh,
and
right.
So you start realizing all the things that are underdeveloped.
So one guy said, well, which one, when you talk about sexuality, should I call myself a sex addict or should I just say I have out-of-control sexual behaviors? Well, how do you talk about this topic?
Yeah, I used to quibble a lot over these particular words. I don't as much anymore because I think the longer that I've been doing this, the more I realize when we start peeling back the layers of our lives, we're far more alike than we are different. I think it can help initially to just be able to say, what am I struggling with on the identity side and what am I struggling with on the behavioral side? So the thing is, there are I guarantee you, if I'm acting out sexually in unhealthy ways, then what's happening is I've got some false beliefs about myself, about God, about sexuality.
Mm.
And then those are...
So that's the identity
side. That's the identity side. And those are then driving behaviors. And so if I can start to kind of unpack it that way, I'm less concerned about getting the perfect label to put on a person.
Yeah.
What I will typically ask a person is, are you saying you want to be different? Are you saying you would like to have that aspect of your life changed? And if they say, yeah, it's like, I don't care what the label is. Let's get busy growing.
You know? Right. Cause I've heard a couple thoughts on this. Don't call yourself a sex addict because God doesn't call you a sex addict,
mm-hmm.
right? He doesn't put a label on you. We're the redeemed, right? But out of control behavior is fluid. I can learn control, I can practice discipline, right? One is an identity issue and the other is a behavioral issue. And so
yeah.
Work on it as a behavioral issue so we don't muck up. Who are you really?
Yeah.
I'm a child of God. That's who I am.
Well, hey, we're out of time. Listeners, we hope that these have been maybe helpful for you in thinking through your own life and your own struggles with sexuality. If you've got some additional ideas for us or even some questions for us, please reach out to us at puresexradio.com, or you can even message us on Twitter at puresexradio. We want to come alongside and help as best we can in your journey. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Take care.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.